Hello?
Hello, Cynthia. This is Robert.
I'm Robert. I was just leaving you a message on, I guess, that line.
Okay. Oh, I just see it. Yep, it just popped up. So, we are scheduled for 45 minutes, and when we're done with the recording of the show, I go in and edit it just, for mostly volume consistency, but and then once I'm done with that, I upload it to Spreaker, and then from there it gets passed on to Apple Podcasts and iHeartRadio, and then I also put it up on my own Byte Radio website. So,
Well, fabulous. I love
okay.
your acronym.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It was something that the idea of bringing inspiration to Earth was told to me by an astrologer friend probably 25 years ago, that she said that that was what my role was to be.
Aw, I love that.
That's anyway. So, and I really do love talking about inspirational stories. So when I'm done uploading those, I will send the links on to, I think it's Mackenzie that's been doing the coordinating. Yeah, so I'll send them to Mackenzie. And also I noticed that you're on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And I post on all of those sites. So when I do, I can tag you on those sites.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. So any questions on your part?
So I believe I had looked at your podcast a while ago just to confirm this is a spiritual podcast. I don't have to go mainstream on this conversation.
No, you can go as woo-woo as you
Okay.
want. No, I mean,
I like to
no.
chat because I do speak to both audiences, but
Right.
yeah, it's a little easier to just be able to say whatever comes to me.
Exactly. And that's what I want you to do. Feel free to be able to do that. So,
Fabulous.
okay. All right. So, any other questions on your part?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to the conversation and getting to know you a little bit, Robert. Thank you for
Great.
having
It's my pleasure, and I'm looking forward to getting to know you better as well. So, let me go ahead and give it a start. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To find out more about our upcoming shows or access to our more than 1,500 podcast episodes, visit our website at www.biteradio.me. Today, my special guest is Cynthia Rivard, and we will be talking about her work and new book, Hope for a New Era, Turning the Tide, Love and Leadership Through Turbulent Times. Cynthia Rivard, author of Hope for a New Era, explains why and how we must take ownership of turning our disastrous trajectory around. Listen to our guidance on our best path forward and help to ensure humanity's evolution into its greatest era. Cynthia is a spiritual teacher, business strategist, and environmental advocate. Having come into a spiritual awakening later in life, she is keenly aware of religious paradigms and cultural perceptions of New Age concepts, and instead teaches a timeless wisdom that has been diluted over the ages. There is a golden thread of truth that is woven throughout all of the world's religions and cultures, and it is this thread that underpins her teachings and will help us to create the next chapter for humanity, our golden era. You can learn more about Cynthia and her work by visiting her website, which is cynthiarivard.com, and that's Cynthia, R-I-V-A-R-D.com. And all proceeds of Hope for a New Era will be donated to her website or her foundation, globalrisingtide.org. And the purpose of that organization is purpose-driven with Conscious Leaders Community that she founded and is contributing to raise human consciousness and end global warming. So with that, I'd like to welcome Cynthia to the show. Good day, Cynthia.
Hello, Robert. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation with you today. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I am too. Anything we can do to change our trajectory, I am all for that.
Oh, boy, yes.
I know. So having, as I mentioned in the introduction, that you came into a spiritual awakening later in life. So would you mind sharing with the listeners kind of who was Cynthia prior to the awakening, and tell us about that particular awakening itself?
Sure, I'd love to. Well, I love sharing that it was later in life, because I was of the impression when I became spiritually curious that I was just, quote unquote, not gifted and too old, and this just, you know, it wasn't my path. It wasn't me. You know, I hadn't been channeling since I was three. It just wasn't for me. And so I like to share this because I was in my late 50s when I became spiritually curious and actually started channeling without recognizing that's what I was doing. If I knew that's what I was doing, I probably would have run scared. But I think that the spiritual world or the religious world, everybody overcomplicates spirituality and how to have a connection with divinity. It's not that complex. It's available to everyone. And that's the message I love to get across. It is available and not that difficult. This whole thing about five stages of awakening, it's not that complex. You could start today, and most of you probably have, and you may not recognize it. So prior to all of this happening, I was a busy working executive and raising four children. I had a very, very busy life, and I understand now that that was intentional. That was part of my path to keep me so busy that I would not become curious and wake up too soon, because now is my time and the time for a whole lot of people listening to this to come into their spiritual awakening and their leadership and help the world evolve. This is our time. If you've ever learned or listened to any theories around the new earth, which is how, you know, this time frame is talked about in spiritual spaces. There was a lot of talk, and originally the plan was that we would evolve into the new earth back in the early 90s. And that didn't happen. There were some complications with that. And so a lot of us were here to help with that evolution then, but it wasn't time yet. So I've had a very busy life up until now, but I am just now stepping into my true purpose, getting this message out to the world and helping raise human consciousness, because now is our time, because it's a lot easier for us now to step into these new expanded frequencies, raise our frequency, our personal emotional frequencies, and raise our consciousness, which is part of the path to this next era of our evolution.
Yeah. Well, I too am glad that you point out the fact that it happened later in life and that you had a very busy pre-awakening life, because I think that journey, that moving from being very busy with, quote, life, you know, and then making that shift, I think that is a very common or popular kind of journey. And I think it's important for people to realize that the life that they're living is important. It's important to contribute to whatever their future path is, and, you know, not to make light of that, you know, raising a family, working a job, and all that kind of thing, because it's a basis for what's to come next.
Oh, absolutely. I love talking about purpose and how it evolves over the course of our lives. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with what you do for work and money, although it can. It also doesn't have to take the majority of your time, but your purpose is meant to evolve as you do, and all of us are meant to be in service to others. That is the one common denominator in our purposes. It will light us up, and we will be in service to others. But as we move into this next era, we're all going to be called forward in new and different ways, potentially, or at least our current purpose is meant to expand, because the world is changing so quickly. And we see that in all the turmoil and the chaos in the world. There are so many ways that the planet and the people of the planet need our help. And each and every person listening to this has their own unique skills and abilities to be able to help. But those opportunities are going to change in the coming months or years as we move into this next era. So I do love to remind everyone to just be flexible and tap into their inner wisdom. That divinity within all of us is there to guide us. And that is how you know and can be confident and step forward into your soul's path and purpose. And, you know, and not be scared by it, because, you know, I will be really transparent. If somebody had told me 10 years ago that I would be doing what I'm doing now, I would have been scared. I would have been resistant. I would have avoided moving forward, because I didn't have the identity. I didn't see myself on this path. But when I learned how to tap into my inner wisdom, and I knew that that was divinity guiding me, all of a sudden, there was no fear taking on these new and different roles and actions, because why would there be fear? This is the path I'm supposed to be on. But it's a very human response to have fear to any fear around anything new and different. So learning to hear and recognize and trust that inner guidance is really critical in knowing how to step forward and how to help, because no matter how much of an impact you're having in the world right now, the world's a mess. and I don't mean that flippantly. It really is. It's tragic, and it's painful to watch the news. And each and every one of us can do a little, if not a lot, because you've got a busy life, but a little bit more. But it's easy to get lost in analysis paralysis and inaction until you tap into that inner wisdom for guidance on what to do, how, with that little bit of time you have, how to make more of a difference in the world. That's how we're going to heal the planet.
Yeah.
One little step at a time, listening to our guidance.
Yeah. You know, and I understand personally the idea of being somewhat hesitant or possibly fearful of a path that, you know, to be taken because of the unknown, not realizing, you know, what lies ahead. And sometimes I think we are purposely not shown the whole picture because, you know, it would get into that paralysis that you mentioned, you know, and so, you know, we kind of are given what we can handle at the time and, you know, taking our steps, you know, in that journey, you know, one step at a time.
Oh, boy, there is so much truth in that. I'm just laughing at myself and how little pieces were given to me, like breadcrumbs, to lead me on this path, because there's just no way if I had known in the beginning. It's true, and it's also relevant if we're talking about, you know, just seeing a little part of the path. It's relevant to point out that often, no matter what it is you're trying to create, you have to take that first step and start getting feedback before you can envision the entire path. There's often tweaks that are needed or, you know, redirection. And that's even when you are crystal clear and guided by divinity. This has been a challenging lesson for me to learn, because I thought, okay, I am really clear now, really clear on what I need to be doing. And there were still things that have not worked out as, you know, within the time frame that were intended, or, okay, well, that's not the best path. Let's head this way now. And it's all the lesson that keeps getting hammered home for me is you need to stay in action, blind action, taking the path that's given to you, but be flexible in those actions and just keep your eye on the end goal. Yeah. You know, it's like if you're driving a car and you've got your path all mapped out on the GPS and then there's traffic and it will reroute you. The end goal is the same, but you've got to be flexible in the path. And it's not just that we can't always handle the entire picture, and so it's dripped out a little bit for us and we have to get started. But sometimes there are things that we learn on that path that make us need to tweak or redirect the path, but we're still aligned with the end goal. Our overriding purpose, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe, excuse me, that you talk about the law of creation demanding that we co-create, you know, with divinity. And,
absolutely.
And it's so true, you know, that when it comes to any creation, it is, in my opinion, all co-created. And, you know, and it's in that detail, the co-creators, so to speak, that put us, you know, that have to create some flexibility in us. I mean, we can't always determine what the other creators, co-creators, are going to be doing, so we have to adjust depending on their actions as well.
Absolutely. Oh, you're opening up a whole different perspective. I was just talking about me and divinity, but yes, you know, to create anything big or complex and the changes we need in the world, we need to co-create with all of those people around us, including those who have differing opinions from us. We need to learn to have compassion and conversation and an overriding goal that we're going to work together toward. That is a great, great point, Robert. But talking about the law of creation, if we can pause here for a minute, I'd love to highlight this, if I might, because people talk about manifesting a lot, and there are a lot of myths out there, or misunderstandings, if you will, that have evolved over time as people started talking about the law of attraction and manifesting and all of these things. And one of the biggest common misunderstandings, I think, is that you need to start by just, you know, visioning and feeling into things from your couch, just, you know, visualizing. And it has led to the misperception, probably not intentional in the beginning, led to the perception that you can manifest without taking action. And, you know, it's actually the law of creation that creates anything new in the cosmos. And we have to take aligned action to create anything new. When I talk about co-creating, that is really being clear on the direction that your inner wisdom is giving you. But we have to co-create. So talking about the golden era or the new earth, we have to co-create it. We can't just sit here and wait for God or divinity to deliver us into a new dimension or something. We have one planet Earth, and we are destroying it right now with global warming and a lot of, you know, greedy and corrupt governments and corporations and things going on that are leading to its destruction. And we need to take more action, aligned action, to help create a better world, because divinity is always with us to guide us. But if we're not listening and taking action, we're going to be in this turmoil for a lot longer than we need to be.
Yeah. Now, when you've been talking about divinity and you mentioned channeling, so would you consider that divinity to be the source of your channeling, or is there some other source?
So all of the actual channeling that goes on is divinity, but you might consider it angels or spirit guides. We each have one that is our personal aspect of divinity, and they are an extension of source energy, God's helpers. I like to call them God's minions. They think that's funny. Mm-hmm. God's minions. There's a lot of helpers, and each one of us has our personal helper, angel or spirit guide, that is in us, that's part of us. And that is what most people channel, actually, when they channel, not everybody, but most of us. And channeling, I had some misunderstandings around that as well. If you are receiving communication from your inner wisdom, guide, higher consciousness, whatever you call it, a lot of people call it intuition, but frequently it is actually their inner knowing coming through rather than their subconscious. If you are receiving any information that way, you are channeling and you are spiritually awake once you recognize that's where it's coming from. Now, it's a skill. You may not be getting as much communication as you'd like. Perhaps you start with clairsentience and you'd really prefer to have claircognizance. So that's a skill you can expand on and become more clear with. But any communication that you recognize receiving from divinity, from your inner wisdom, or higher self, that is
Did I lose you there, Cynthia?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, sorry. So now you mentioned clairsentience and claircognizance. Can you explain the difference between the two for the listeners?
Sure. I think actually most people, when they think about intuition as just a gut knowing or, you know, an inspired idea that comes to them out of nowhere, and it's just a brilliant idea, that is generally claircognizance coming through. So your claircognizance is a knowing, and you don't know where it's coming from. You didn't read it somewhere. Someone didn't tell you. It just comes through. And I call it divine downloads. That is your clairsentience. But a lot of people have experienced it, and they think of it as intuition. Theoretically, intuition is something different and comes from your subconscious, but a lot of times it gets confused, and it's actually claircognizance you're experiencing. Clairsentience is feelings in your body that is being channeled from divinity to communicate with you. And this is actually how I developed my communication with divinity. If I can share this, it was super simple. I started out learning what's called the sway technique from kinesiology, and people use it quite often to tap into the subconscious for answers about what's going on in the body. And, you know, your subconscious is vast. It's just a great well of information. But I learned how to use that sway technique where you're using your body like a pendulum, asking yes and no statements or questions. And I would set the intention to connect with my divine aspect rather than my subconscious. And I started developing this feeling in my body, this yes-no response from my divine aspect to answer my questions. And that's how I started learning to trust and develop this communication that was coming through. But the interesting thing is, it turns out I had claircognizance all along. I just didn't trust it. So as I learned this sway technique, I would get the ideas coming through my claircognizance, and then I would ask and validate with the clairsentience because I didn't trust the ideas I was receiving.
Yeah. Trust in the information received can be a challenge for most people. For me, it was in particular,
yes.
You know, it was, I found it very difficult to be discerning whether the mm-hmm. information was my monkey mind, you know, just going rattling on, or
right.
I had heard from somewhere or someone else, or mm-hmm. if it was, like, you know, just from within. And
yeah.
It took a while to be able to kind of recognize the texture of the information
mm-hmm.
received.
Yes, it's common. We are kind of, most of us are taught to question ourselves, so it's a very common reaction. How would you know the difference until you really focus on developing that skill? But I highly recommend using the sway technique and clairsentience as a way of validating, because that helped me to trust my claircognizance much faster. And as I raised my frequency and developed my claircognizance, it developed my trust, it became stronger and stronger.
Yeah. And that does seem to be the case, that once you recognize the information, or however it appears to you, whether it be the tingling on the scalp or the, you know, the hair raising on your arms or whatever,
uh-huh.
even the sway technique, you know,
uh-huh.
that once you recognize that, then it does seem to, the frequency does seem to increase. It's kind of like that guide is like, oh, they listened to me. They're listening to me now. Okay, now I can really give them some more information.
Right, yeah. And it starts really flowing. You open the gates. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you mentioned, when we were talking about the co-creative aspect of the law of creation, you mentioned aligned action. And I'd like to maybe just delve into that just a little bit. Can you give us kind of a clearer picture of what aligned action is and how we might recognize or even facilitate that kind of action?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I say something's in alignment, I'm usually talking about with divinity, your divine aspect, your higher self. All of us have unique paths and purposes. And as I mentioned, I think for most of us, they will be evolving if they haven't already, or expanding those paths and purposes based on who we are and our unique skill set. And you're not going to know what actions will be most impactful that you really should be taking on your path until you tap into that inner wisdom. So when I say your actions are aligned, I mean you're checking in and you're following your guidance. And I recommend, you know, once you develop this skill, you check in constantly. I've gotten to the point where it's on 24/7. I don't have to sit quietly and ask questions or anything like that. I'm just constantly getting the communication. But until you get to that point, you can check in every day. What are my most aligned actions today or this week or whatever, depending on what your goals are? We need to check in because, again, those actions can change as circumstances matriculate. You know, we find out new things and we need to shift or pivot a little bit. So we need to check frequently and stay flexible, and that's how we stay in alignment. And when I say co-create by taking aligned action, I'm talking about all of the things that we need as a global community, we need to start doing to be good stewards of the earth and good stewards of our fellow humans. We have so many humanitarian crises around the planet. And, you know, how can we, even just looking in your own community, because that's not quite as overwhelming as looking at the globe and all of the issues,
Yeah. You
know, checking in with your guidance and should I be doing something different? You know, what can I do? Maybe it's just a small donation you can eke out somewhere to support somebody or some organization, or maybe you've got a skill set that could really be useful somewhere and your divine aspect already has an idea for that they need to get through to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, it is important to recognize that, you know, there is that power of the individual, the power to not only, you know, improve one's own life, but also the lives of people around you. And that, you know, can be like a ripple effect in increasing, you know, volume and quantity.
Absolutely, 100%. And the really amazing thing is when we work, when we start taking action bravely, you inspire others to do that. And by bravely, I just mean you're doing aligned actions that maybe you wouldn't have done a year ago. But also when you lead with compassion, which is so much of what's missing in our world, when you step forward as an egoless leader and do things that help the community rather than ourselves, because we see a lot of that in leadership, a lot of greed, When we do that, we inspire others to do the same, and that starts a ripple of compassion. It's amazing how that kind of thing can carry forward. They talk about emotional contagion.
Mm-hmm.
It's more commonly talked about in the lower, more base emotions when there's an angry mob, as an example. Mm-hmm. But the higher frequency emotions are much more potent. And when we lead with those higher frequency emotions like love and compassion, it's an amazing ripple that we can start of people inspired to do the same.
Yeah. Now, in your book, you talk about micro leaders, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that's what, you know, the individual would be or could be, mm-hmm. and that, you know, a lot of people, I don't think, realize that they are leaders in many ways, and they just don't necessarily see that as the case.
Absolutely. Well, that's, you know, a broken aspect with the term. People think of people with titles as leaders, or, you know, you have to be leading a business or have somebody give you a title, running a committee or something. And that's not the case. Anybody who exerts influence, I like to say ethical influence because we want to do it in a positive way. But if you're exerting influence on people, which we all do every single day, you are leading. And once you recognize, just look around and recognize the influence you have over others, you can start showing up more intentionally, influencing them in positive ways. Because if you don't recognize your influence, you're not as likely to have a positive influence.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, I mean, a great example is in families, whether you're a parent or a sibling or a child, and you're influencing your parents. We all have influence in our families as our closest group, but then there's your friend group, and there's your neighborhood or community, or even if you don't have a title where you work, you have influence over the people you work with or the customers you interact with. Even if you just make them smile and give them a little lift when they walk away, that is influence. And that could be, you know, the most joy they feel all day. You know, you just don't mm-hmm. know. But when you start looking for that and recognizing the influence you have on people, it's really powerful to reframe how we can all be micro leaders.
Yeah. In an ethical way, like you said.
Yes.
Very you know, so one of the things that I mentioned in the beginning of the show that you're teaching involves around the idea of the golden thread, you know, that is a belief that really is addressed in, you know, the whole of the world's religions. So can you tell us a little bit about the golden thread, and do you think that by framing the information through that concept that you're able to reach, you know, beyond religious dogma?
Well, I hope so. That remains to be seen. But mm-hmm. I do believe, so the golden thread I'm talking about is really just that there is a divine power, a creator, that created everything. And most people, even if they don't consider themselves religious, in their heart, they feel like that's the case. There's something out there greater than us. Or at least we hope so, because how could all of this miraculousness exist? No, it's a miraculous universe and world, and the, you know, all of the biosystems and the magic of the way they all, the ecosystems of the planet work together. And then there's our bodies, of course, and the miraculousness of it. I think we all, most people, whether they recognize themselves as spiritual or not, believe in something, a greater power. And in all of the religious teachings, I shouldn't say all, in those that I'm familiar with, they do talk about that greater, that great creator being love, and how, you know, we should love each other and not kill each other. That's a tenet of most of the religions, even though we don't see people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a golden thread. And, you know, the intricacies of the different religious paradigms and how they've evolved, that was people taking those prophets' teachings and just wrapping them in rituals and dogma and things that made sense in the cultures at the time. But the golden thread is we were created by the divine, and they want us to love each other and serve each other. And in doing that, and the planet, all of God's creations, in doing that, we love them.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we're getting close to the end of the show, Cynthia. So, but before we close, I do want to talk a little bit about your foundation, the Global Rising Tide Foundation, globalrisingtide.org. And tell us about, you know, that organization's mission, and what are some of the resources available to people through that?
Yes. Well, so it has two aspects. The main one being any of the proceeds that come in through the foundation, such as through book sales, will be donated to a nonprofit that is fighting climate change, because that is the most pressing crisis of our times. We need to turn that disaster around. So that is one part of the mission. And then I have created a donors community where, and a donor could be someone that just, you know, donates $5 once ever. And they're part of this community where they have some free trainings and support around raising their frequency. I have a live group call, coaching calls on, you know, finding and living your purpose, raising your frequency, raising your consciousness, connecting with your divine aspect or inner wisdom. All of these things that I talk about, when people feel like they need some support on that, we have the resources there to be able to do that.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I was going through and perusing the web, and you do have some wonderful resources for people, organizations, groups. So that's really, it's a great resource.
Thank you.
Now, the last thing is that this book, Hope for a New Era, I believe, is the first book in a series called the Golden Era Creation Series. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I was given a pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? I was given kind of a tight timeline to get a lot of books out this year. They're all channeled. But it's still, you know, there's some logistics involved. But I'm hoping the second book will be out this fall. And it's called Golden Era Rising. But in the meantime, I've got another one on leadership coming out, not in the series, but the end of August.
Right.
So a lot of books coming. But the Golden Era Creation series. This is the first one in that series, and the next one is more of a personal manual on your personal evolution for this new era. And then the last one is a message from divinity.
Wow, that's great. Well, keep me in mind when those come out. I'd love to talk to you about them.
Fabulous.
Great.
Fabulous. I will enjoy that.
This has really been a delight, Cynthia. I really appreciate you spending the time talking to us and sharing your information and your journey.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity, and you and all of the work you're doing, Robert, inspiring Earth.
Thank you very much. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Cynthia Rivard. We've been talking about her work and new book, Hope for a New Era, Turning the Tide, Love and Leadership Through Turbulent Times. And again, you can find out more by visiting Cynthia's website at www.cynthiarivard.com. And again, for more information about the foundation, you can visit globalrisingtide.org. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for today's edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch. Okay, Cynthia, that is it.
Beautiful. What a perfect ending.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I've used that one for years. And I mean it. So.
I love it. I cannot believe you've done 1,500 episodes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm probably closing in on 1,600, but I just haven't made a recent count.
Right. Wow, that is some dedication. Thank you for that. I'm sure there's a lot of value in all of those episodes.
Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah. I've learned so much from so many people, and I just really enjoy it.
Fabulous. Yeah, well, this has been really delightful. I enjoyed speaking with you. It sounds like we're on the same page. You've got very good energy, and it was like you intuitively knew. You brought up some things that were real hot points for me that I wanted to talk about. So I think there was a lot of divine guidance going on that call, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely. I think both our guys were doing their work behind the scenes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, it was nice meeting you, and I'll look forward to those links and sharing the episode when it comes out.
I appreciate that, Cynthia. You have a great day.
Thank you. You as well. Take care.
Bye.